what could we deserve? How could we act to deserve that?
Yes. You see, there's a two-way virtue. Obviously, in the previous verse, we should have done a lot of charitable acts and such holy acts as a result of which we got this reward of being able to come to this ashram and be in contact with the devotees and with the Bhagavan Ramana, whose presence you still feel, even though, as you said, it's not bodily present. That's something very important. Apart from that, what is the second virtue? Now that you have come here and you are doing your meditation and all that, it creates a second virtue which in case you are unable to cross the ocean of samsara in this very birth, it will definitely help you to get to the next birth, and it will give you such a feeling. So we are doing a, we are doing a virtue wall by having done something in the previous birth to deserve it, and then having come here now and doing some sadhana. Don't do any sadhana, even be here. Even that will give you something which will raise you up.
Isn't that why you yourself even wrote that Sahasranama for Bhagavan, and one of his names is the tiger's mouth? Once you're in the tiger's mouth, you're only going in one direction. He might dangle you around for even a lifetime, but still you're caught.
Yes. He will say, I never caught you, you caught me. I know only to catch, I don't know to leave them.
The virtue we need is, as you say, is patience, as we're dangling in the jaw, thinking, well, no, actually, Bhagavan himself is giving us the answer even to that condition. What did he say in one of his hymns to Arunachala? He's saying, O Arunachala Shiva, finish the job. Don't leave me half-baked.
It's don't there. Keep me as it's a work there. In progress. Don't keep me as a work in progress.
Yeah. And when I read that, I even think of in the Christian era, Saint Lawrence, who was the first martyr, who they burned him alive on a grate. They built a huge fire and put an iron grate and put him on top of it, only a couple feet from the fire. And the emperor was there waiting for him to scream in pain and to say, forgive me, I'll renounce everything. And he wouldn't speak, and his flesh was literally being burnt off of his bones. And finally he started to speak, and everyone was thinking, ah, still he has life, he'll renounce. And what did he say? The great St. Lawrence looked at the captors and the emperor and said, would you not like to turn me over? I'm done on this side. He said that. And so they flipped him over. Just think, that faith. So to ask Bhagavan for that, for the strength, we say yes, as you said, we must have faith and love, but also you've said prayer is greater than meditation.
Essential part. I'm so full of happiness of it. I don't do any meditation. I go twice or thrice to the shrine and sit there for 5-10 minutes, make 1 or 2 rounds, and I'm happy absolutely. Purpose of life is happiness, I'm happy. Yes. As a present is permanent, then why bother? If it goes, then I will try other means of sadhana.
Om Rama.
Anju came here for 11 days.
I did. That was a month ago.
Little expecting that she is to get a bonanza.
And actually, Bhagavan said, you've come here for 11 days. I'm going to withhold your visa extension until I'm finished with you, and then you can go.
Exactly.
And that just happened. So I think, and it was one delay after the other, and I didn't bring them. Even actually this last delay.
During the day, during the evening, she has never once told, I should find out how the girls are getting on. She never bothered, at least.
It didn't come to her mind at all.
She never talks of them.
In fact, it was 1 week ago, almost 1 week ago today, that I was about to get on the train, and I had the ticket. And so I'm thinking, well, finally, as you know, I must somehow settle in my mind that I'm going away. And so then I get an email from Christopher, who is with Katya, and she's coming. And so it says, could you please delay your trip because I'm bringing some live plants, and I'd like for you to take them. So I responded saying, that's music to my ears.
No. This is all because of my prarabdha. My bones are to wear out early.
Yes. Well, Swamiji, you say that, but those bones are outlasting mine. So, but to get back, please, to that original question. If we were to imitate things of Bhagavan, we should, instead of saying, I will become Bhagavan, obviously the skillful path would be, what one virtue will I try to imitate first, and then I'll move to another and another and another.
He was perfect. He was perfect in every way. Then you list out a few of the particular virtues. Never to get worried. Never to be bothered about what happens. No reaction to anything. And his compassion towards people. How? Even when people posted their letter, they're just posted in the letterbox, my daughter is very ill, and the doctors are unable to diagnose. They post it and come back home, she's all right. So it needed to wait till it reaches his hand. The very friend with Sankalpa, they have written a letter and posted, that's sufficient. So, which month has been like? And then you can see that, yes, there have been prophets and prophets. But what is the speciality about him? The speciality about him is, as he is himself told, that he is not a sannyasi. He is not calling himself brahmachari. He has taken away his sacred thread. So, he is none. Then what is he? He is beyond all stations of life. He is beyond his sannyasi. He is beyond an avadhuta. He is beyond a paramahamsa. And such types of world's masters come perhaps once in several thousands of years. And we have had the fortune to have him in the recent past. And what are his qualities? His one quality is, he's a perfect master in the previous birth, he's finished all his training and has reached the Lord, and he's been given to us a ripe fruit, so that just for some formality's sake, he spent some 16 years at his home, and then suddenly he bloomed into the one of the greatest of Mahatmas. When he came here, he can quote, his uncle came and he told some Swamijis, my nephew has come here, poor fellow, he knows nothing, he was in studying in the 9th standard, so you people take care of him and teach him something of, you know, what is sannyas, what is renunciation, what is Vedanta, so please teach him. And then he came to the cave where it's a Virupaksha cave where Bhagavan was staying. He was inside. He was just outside because Bhagavan was talking to somebody. He wanted to hear what he is talking. Then one fellow is asking him, I think about Dakshinamurti Stotra or something. For each stotra, Bhagavan is giving him 9 to 10 interpretations. The uncle is shocked. When has he studied them? How does he get all these ideas? Even I, who has studied in those days, I never know excepting one meaning. how is he yet? Then he immediately knew that his nephew was not an ordinary, an ignorant boy. He was all-knowing. He goes inside and prostrates before him. This comes somewhere. So everybody could see, except a person with the worst prarabdha, who were unable to recognize in him the Lord Himself. That was it. And yes, even start with imitating 10%. Well, with the Lord's help and with your real intention, it will definitely grow. Bhagavan Himself will help you. That's all. But let the first 10% be yours, that I have to follow at least 10%. This much at least.
And it seems that he who is all knowledge and all attainment, what he's showing us is simplify your life.
Yes, you see, when somebody told him, I want this idea, you please write something. He writes a beautiful poem and then signs the other man's name as if he has written. He doesn't want his name. What is his name? Because he is no longer a man. He's one of the Lord. And why should he require impressing people? That's all. Where did it come? How many Mahatmas are able to do it? See, there's a practice in India. Some of the greatest of the devotee poets, the greatest devotee poets, they have written poems, they have written songs. And in every song, their name will come somewhere to show that I am the composer. Similarly, any big poems which people write, then in the last they will say, done by such and such. Annambatta Krita, this has been done by Annambatta. So this has been the procedure. But Bhagavan never bothered to write in Upadesara or anywhere written by Ramana Maharshi. He never wrote. In the last shloka, they will introduce it. It is part of the poem. So that they will not leave it to somebody, the printers or anybody. They will themselves write. So it's not so. So the sort of absolute erasure of ego, let us follow it a little, even a little. At least out of 100 cases, somewhere you try to say, here I won't take any credit. Come on, let it go. So try to leave off a few cases. That's how we make a start.
It seems that he was teaching, to begin with, the simplest form of Atmavichara would be simply just pay attention. Pay attention to what's happening. Listen to the instruction, but literally just be aware. In fact, I remember reading in Vichara Sangraham, which, you know, that was given in between the year of 1900 and 1902 when Bhagavan was in Virupaksha Cave, and this man Gambhiram would be coming after his work every night almost to Bhagavan. I don't know how he just told his family, you take care of everything. And he would talk. At that time, Bhagavan was in Mon, he was just not speaking, but Gambhiram was asking questions and Bhagavan was writing the answers down, and they have the written answers there. So Gambhiram, and this is what I'd like for you to kind of help me understand. After almost a year and a half of Gambhiram speaking with Bhagavan almost daily, and Bhagavan instructing him into Atmavichara, Gambhiram said this, Bhagavan, this is, I think, number 19 and 20 of the questions in that book, Vichara Sangraham. He said, Bhagavan, I have listened to your instruction with great detail about inquiry into the nature of the self, but still I have no peace of mind. What is the reason? What is the reason? And Bhagavan literally said, you lack strength of mind. So Bhagavan is not saying the mind is an illusion, the mind is to be just ignored. The fact that your mind is not strong. So when Bhagavan...
The point is, the mind has to be ignored and all that. It comes at a later stage. Initially, as a normal beginner, when we start, when we think the body is true, otherwise we are doing sadhana. If there is no body sense at all, you will never do any sadhana at all. So long as you do sadhana, then take it that you are having the full body sense. When the body sense is there, then everything is a separate body to you. So as such, you cannot take the highest truth as a truth realized by you. You just keep it in your mind as an information for the future, but never, never use it. So at that stage, we have to do what should be done. So at that stage, you cannot say the mind does not exist, the mind did exist. So as he says, it's because of the weakness of the mind. So how to remove the weakness of the mind? Why the weakness of the mind has come, you have to see first. The weakness of the mind has come because for births and births, we have been a slave to the mind instead of a master of the mind. So that there's a conditioning to which we have been subjected. We have been a slave to the mind. So that's the reason. When once you the reason, now you begin to establish yourself. Every case, wherever the mind tells you to do something which you don't feel is right, you fight against it. You may fail once, twice, thrice, even 10 times. But every time you fail, you are gaining in your willpower. So that in the 10th time when you do, you will say, mind your own business, I will mind my business. It is just like, there's a big stone which I'm trying to remove it, just put it in the pit. But it's not moving at all. I push it once, twice, thrice, the 20th time it falls. They mean to say that only the 20th time was effective and the rest of the time was useless. No, every one step, every one push contributed to the removal of a little friction. So that on the 20th, the entire friction was removed. So every push had something to do. Even though it is a failure, it was a success in one way. In that, it removed a lot of frictions. So that is how you have to strive, every time. Every time you struggle, doesn't matter if you still bow down to your mind, but a time will come, you will establish. Then in future, you will become the master of the mind. So for anything, to find out what you should do, find out the source, how it has come, then it will be easier to find out the remedy.
Yes, exactly.